Everybody has one destination, but there are many different ways to get to that destination. If I give you the example, if, for example, I want to travel to Glasgow, I want to go to the city of Glasgow. So let's say there's a few of us who want to go to Glasgow. We all have the same end point, the same destination. But there are different ways, different routes to get to Glasgow, different means to take us to Glasgow. Somebody will go by plane, that I want to fly there and get there quicker. Somebody will take a coach that is cheaper, will go by a coach to Glasgow. And all the different people who will be going to Glasgow will adopt a different route, a different way of transportation. Somebody will run to the train station. That, okay, train's pretty quick, it will get us there safely. And somebody say, right, let's fill up the tank, go by road, take the car. And there'll be other people who say, let's go on the motorcycle, I prefer the motorcycle. And there'll be even some others who say, right, let's go by walking, enjoy the scenery on the way. It will take a few days, a few weeks maybe. And they say, we'll camp on the way, take our rucksacks, we'll do some dhikr of Allah on the way. And maybe they'll leave from Lancashire, Bolton, they'll go to Glasgow, all the nice towns and villages. They'll see the scenery, the beautiful nature of Allah, and do the dhikr of Allah and appreciate Allah's creation. They'll say that our destination is the same. Everyone has one destination, which is to go to Glasgow. But there are different techniques and ways and routes: bus, coach, plane, bicycle, motorcycle, walking. Everyone will reach there eventually. So Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, the mu'min, mu'minina wal mu'minat, we all believers have one destination. And what is that destination? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To attain Allah ta'ala's pleasure. To attain Allah ta'ala's nearness. To attain Allah ta'ala's love. To attain the qurb of Allah. This is the maqsad, the purpose, the objective and the destination for all of us sitting here. All of us travelers and believers. But as I said, there is one destination, but there are different ways to get there. There are many ways. There are more ways to reach to Allah than there are the breaths in your life. I can tell you this. What is the difference in those ways, the methods? Is that to reach Glasgow, if we adopt a certain means, a certain method, that has its own, you can say, selection. If somebody selects the plane journey, somebody selects the coach journey or walking or the motorcycle, everyone has their own selection based on their own criteria. But to reach Allah Ta'ala, there are many ways, but the selection and the criteria is Allah Ta'ala's. We cannot select for ourselves the way in terms of how we, practically fulfill what Allah Ta'ala wants us to do. Allah says, I will tell you. Who gives us the transportation to get to Jannah, to get to Allah? Allah gives. But to understand it and to utilize it is our job. But we don't understand it. Allah Ta'ala has given us the method and we start analyzing that method. If we look at our condition, every breath in our life, everything we have around us and within us, it is a means to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we don't understand this point. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Allah Ta'ala is telling us there are many ways, there are many, you can say, forms of transport and travelers. And for example, you can say that Allah is Khabir and Basir. He knows, He sees and hears. He knows what is the way for me, the better way for me, the better method for me to reach to Allah. So Allah Ta'ala selects and He gives me the means. Because Allah Ta'ala says, I am the one who knows what is best for you, and I am the one who predestines for you and gives to you. Allah says that sometimes I will put khawf into the heart of a believer. Another person, I will give him poverty. Another person, I will give him disease and illness. Another person, I will maybe take his life. Somebody, I will give him wealth and test him with the wealth. So every believer will have different tests and different trials and a different journey. But all of those people are still going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and on the journey to Allah. We want to save ourselves from these tests and trials. Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. All of the tragedies and disasters or glad tidings or good fortunes, everything that comes in the life is to take you to Allah. If Allah gives you fear, khawf, It's good for you. Allah says, it's good for you if I give you poverty. It's good for you if I make you poor. Don't think that it's a burden for you. Or if you're very wealthy and you don't know how to control your wealth or where to utilize it, Allah says, this is a ni'mah for you, a bounty from me. It's good news for who? The sabireen. The people. Alladheena idha asabatuhum musibatun qalu inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allah says in the Quran, that the person who has this feeling, has this condition, this emotion, which emotion? قَالُوا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. If I've got problems, difficulties, alhamdulillah. When I get something that maybe I didn't want, I start complaining. But I should be grateful. That inside they should feel, قَالُوا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That Allah, all things that I've earned or I've acquired, it's you who's given. And if there's a loss, whatever's happening in my life, everything is temporary because you are everlasting and I am happy with what you've given to me. This condition we should develop within us. This condition, emotion and feeling, then everything we live in our life, bad, good, plus, minus, positive, negative, we will be happy and smile and think it's good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will never wilt, we will never shudder, we will never shake. Hazrat Thanwi, rahmatullahi alayhi, has said a beautiful thing, that never consider the pluses and the minuses, the highs and the lows in your life as bad things. This is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says this is a means for the mu'minat and the mu'mineen, the believers, men and women, to get closer to Allah. There's thousands that will come in your life, in my life, in your life. That we go so far from Allah over just one little thing that, you know, pricks us, for example. 99.9% of us, we pass through difficulties in life. And when the conditions get tough, when problems come, difficulties come, worries come, we don't understand that this is from Allah. In reality, if a believer, a creation, a human being, understands properly that this, what Allah Ta'ala has given to me, this condition that's befell me, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah says, if my servant at that time reacts correctly to a problem, a difficulty, a worry, with sabr, Allah Ta'ala says, if he passes that test and follows the path that I've given to him with the guidance and he understands it properly, what is the conclusion? Allah says, through that difficulty, you will get close to Allah and you will forget that difficulty. You will forget that difficulty. There are people, for example, who don't have money, they're in debt, or they go towards negative things. Instead of going towards negative, they start praying salah, they start coming to the masjid, they start doing dhikr. They've understood that Allah, this problem, this issue you've given to me, you gave it so I can get closer to you. So they change their life. قَالُوا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. So the Muslim, he doesn't worry about problems and difficulties. He starts to do tazkira of himself. He says, Allah, you have given me this. There's some benefit in this. There's some hikmah in this. I will run more towards salah. I will run more towards dhikr. Allah Ta'ala says that when this condition comes into the person, my believer, my servant, what do I do? Allah Ta'ala says, Allahu Akbar. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. Allah says, then my rahmah, my mercy, my fadl, my blessings, they come, they rain down on that person, on that servant. So this is the real thing, my friends, to attain Allah, His nearness, His love, His pleasure. There are many ways. Our whole life, every second and breath in my life is there for me to get closer to Allah. I have to understand the good times and the bad times are all from Allah. What do I have to do? I have to be sabr, have sabr and be grateful for every second, that everything that befalls me, comes across me, that affects me, is for me to get closer to Allah. But if I have issues and I run away from Allah, I start complaining and crying. For example, let's take a brother here who's got poverty life. Somebody's business goes bankrupt or he goes into big debt. Then he goes towards the opposite direction. He starts to get afraid of hunger. Why are we afraid of hunger? Allah Ta'ala has given us hunger. There's a reason for this. Allah Ta'ala gives thousands of people money and thousands Allah gives poverty and hunger. Allah is the one who is the hakim. He has got the hikmah. He knows through which means I will get close to Him. Let's say, for example, I'm poor. And Allah says, I don't want to give you millions, my servant. Because maybe if you had millions, you'd go far from my deen. So Allah saved me and protected me. But maybe that person who was poor, Allah made him rich. Because Allah Ta'ala wanted him to become rich and wealthy so he could spend for the sake of Allah. So whether you're wealthy or poor, healthy or ill, whatever you are, accept your condition as that being given by Allah. And when do you understand that? When you create that condition within you. قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. When you do tazkiyah, when you purify your heart, when you crush your desires, when you analyze your internal state of affairs through the dhikr of Allah, through the company of the pious people, when you obey Allah, when you clean your inner self, your heart, your batin, your inner spiritual state, then you will accept every second, every breath of your life. Whatever condition comes in front of you, you will be happy and you'll say, Allah, alhamdulillah, I'm happy. So always analyze yourself. There's no bad times. There's no such thing as bad times or difficult times. Rather, we say, alhamdulillah, it's from Allah. Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Janijana rahmatullah alayh, who is one of the sheikhs from our chain of sheikhs, he was the 31st sheikh in the chain of the Naqshbandi Mujaddidi Silsila. And I give you his example. Why? Because it's very suitable to the examples and subject. He is one of the great Naqshbandi sheikhs of the history, you can say. He was, mashallah, a very delicate natured person. Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Janijana. He was so delicate, mashallah, that, for example, I'll tell you, that if somebody, you know, if they stitched something for him, yeah, and it wasn't straight, the stitching, he would be affected by that. If somebody, for example, put a glass on the plate and it wasn't straight, crooked, even that would put him off. He was that delicate in his nature. He wanted everything to be perfect. If he's walking to the masjid and he saw the beds on the way, on the street, something was out of place, he'd want to put it back into place. He was very delicate. He was, you could say, like a perfectionist in this day and age, we call it. He didn't want things off their angle or alignment. Somebody gave him a gift once, hadiyah, and they said, this old woman, she said, Hazrat, I've sewn a quilt for you. Please accept this gift from me. And he accepted that. The gift came. He utilized it in the evening, that gift. And as I said, he was very delicate natured. And in the morning, his eyes were red. And his khadims, his students said, Hazrat, didn't you sleep in the night? Why are your eyes red? Did you not have the few hours of sleep in the night? Or are you ill? Or are you unwell? What was the problem? And what is this reason that you're looking very tired and exhausted? Hazrat said, no, I'm not ill. I wasn't unwell. The reason was this, that this gift that was given to me, this quilt that was sewn by that person, hand sewn, that in the night I was looking, that you know the stitching down the rows of that quilt, they were crooked, weren't straight. And even that was putting me off, that I wanted, you know, it was putting me off. It was that delicate nature. Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Janijana rahmatullah, mashallah, very, very, you could say he wanted things perfect. This was how delicate was his nature and his mazaj. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, mazhar in the ilham, that you need to get married and I will select for you. Allah Ta'ala selects, doesn't he, for everybody who is the bride, who is the husband or whatever you get. So in Delhi, there's a woman in Delhi and you will have your nikah with that woman. And you will get married to her and I promise to you that your name, your spreading of the deen, your work of the deen will spread until the day of judgment. And mashallah, people will remember you for ages after you for the work that you've done of deen. So mashallah, Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Jani rahmatullah, he got married to that woman. She came to his house, his wife. Remember, as I said, Allah Ta'ala tests different people in different ways in the life. He was mashallah, salo, delicate natured, like a perfectionist. But she was opposite to him. She had anger. She was fussy. She used to get angry quickly. And there was like total opposites in the nature. All his life, Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Janijana was patient. He bore the life patiently. He compromised, give and take with his wife. Sometimes he never ever complained against his wife. Never did he say to any one of his relatives or his friends that my wife, she's strict or she's firm. There are one or two events. Once his student came, knocked on the door, said, I want to see my sheikh. He said, which sheikh? Your sheikh? What kind of sheikh is this person you call sheikh? He's not a sheikh. He doesn't even deserve being called a sheikh. This was the wife. And he was Pathan. He said, Astaghfirullah. How can you dare to speak to the Shaykh like this, even though you are the wife? Yani, this was how she was, his wife. Totally opposite to him. But he understood that Allah is testing me and I have to be patient and bear this with patience and difficulty. And mashallah, when he did that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I said, test people differently. When he was about to pass away, look how great he was, how he had crushed his desires. This was his maqam. Because inside, within him, he had cleaned and purified himself. He had accepted that Allah had destined this woman for him. So many years, 20, 30 years he spent with his life. And he called his special students at the time of death. And he said, listen, my students, all my life you have served me. Now I'm going to bestow to you a job. If you can fulfill this assignment, then inshallah on the day of judgment, you will also with me. With me, inshallah, with success. They said, Hazrat, we are your students. He said, I'm telling you a secret. Please don't spread this. Don't tell anyone. He said, the secret is this, that my wife, I could never please her in my life. She always complained, but I could never fulfill her requirements, what she wanted. You know, she's a bit angry. She's a bit, you can say, fussy. But now I'm passing away. You have to serve her and help her and her sister, and make sure you never give her any difficulty. No delay in fulfilling a request. Doesn't matter how much she scolds you, be silent and serve her and be kind to her. What a great maqam he must have had, huh? Hazrat Mirza Mazajani, Jana Rahmatullah Alayhi. So he had patience, sabr, and he accepted that Allah Ta'ala had given this as a wife to him, and had sabr, and accepted this. And what do? One little prick on our skin, we start crying. Or a little bit less in the dunya, the wealth, we start crying. Or if our health goes downhill, we start crying and complaining. Everything that comes to us in the day, in the night, through the months and the years, we say, Alhamdulillah, this thing that you've given to me, if I bear this with patience, you gave it to me, I try my best to turn the situation around, but what has come into my life, sometimes you have to accept it with your body and your soul, that Allah, this looks like it's destined for me, and will take me to your nearness, to your qurb, and to your pleasure. So this is what we have to understand, brothers. Don't spend all your life, your energy, and your guts and your blood to try to change the situation if it's destined for you. There are khulafa of his who are bay'ah to Hazrat in his silsila, who were students of his, who became sheikhs and commentators and muhaddiseen. You will have heard their names. Alama Malusi rahmatullahi alayh. Tell me, such a great sheikh and scholar. Alama Shami rahmatullahi alayh. He was a khalifa from that sheikh. Hazrat Qazi Thanaullah Panipati Rahmatullah Alayhi, great sheikh from India, who wrote great tafsir of the Quran. These were khalifas of this sheikh I've spoken about. In one of his events, he presented himself, the student, to the teacher, and Hazrat stood up for his student out of respect. And Hazrat Mazhar, Jani Jana, the person I just spoke about who had the strict wife, and the student, when he came into his room, the teacher would get up for his student. Hazrat Mizar Mazhar Jana would stand up, and the student said, I'm incapable, my sheikh, my teacher, why do you stand for me? He said, I stand for you because when you, Qadhi Thanullah, come to my gathering, all the angels that are here in this gathering of dhikr, they stand for you before you come in the door. So I am forced to get up for you, my student, because you are so great and higher in status. So imagine how great his status must have been. Such people were his students. So can you imagine what the teacher was like? Hazrat Shah Ghulam Ali rahmatullahi, great wali of Allah, who was bay'ah and pledged allegiance to his teacher. And you would have heard the silsila Khalidiyya in Turkey, which has spread many Naqshbandi sheikhs. These were all khalifas of Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Jani Jana rahmatullahi. So how did he reach this station, this status? Because he purified his heart. He crushed his desires. Doesn't matter how difficult times come in your life, the problems, the issues, worries, you need to just worry about yourself. Am I doing wrong? Am I doing right? Am I doing dhikr? Am I remembering Allah? Even if the world looks so difficult for us, so bleak and dark and difficult, doesn't matter. We bear it with patience. Sometimes we don't have clothes or shoes or wealth or money, and we keep on worrying about how we're going to accrue that wealth. But Allah says, struggle on your inner state. Without struggling, you cannot attain nothing. Allah says, do dhikr in abundance. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr is such a great assistance for us that it will revolutionize our life within us. A person, if he does not do dhikr, he can never improve as a human being. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, do dhikr kathiran kathira. The more dhikr you do, morning, evening, during the day, remember Allah. Allah says, the internal state, your life inside you, will totally transform. You won't be worried about external things, physical things, dunya things, material things. You'll have patience. You will bear difficulties with happiness. You'll have sabr. You won't take revenge on people. You won't oppress people. You won't worry if people curse you or insult you. You'll be so soft and tender-hearted, just like the soft soil. Sabr, you are so many stations of sabr, and when you take the lessons from the sheikh in our silsila, you come to a certain position that you're like the soft soil inside you. You know the soft soil? So I asked Hazrat, my teacher, Hazrat, this maqam, when you get to this high levels, why is it similar akin to the soft soil that absorbs the water? I asked my teacher this. What a beautiful answer my sheikh gave, that the soft soil is akin, is similar to this, the quality. The reason for this is that when you get high grade in your dhikr and nearness to Allah, why is this that you're related to that soft soil? Why is it similar to that? Because the soil in the world, when you look at the farmland, the arable land, the soil land, people urinate on the earth, people pass stool on the land, animals sit on the land, spit on the land. But the beauty of the soil of the earth is it absorbs everything. good and bad. It never complains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never cries. And on top of absorbing it, it's happy. And then it gives out fruits and vegetation and beautiful things for us to consume. So Allah says the heart of a mu'min is same way. That when a mu'min cleans his heart, does tazkiyah, makes effort, does dhikr, crushes his desires, his heart becomes like the soft soil. All the disasters happening around him, people cursing him, backbiting, slandering him. His heart is like the soft soil. He absorbs everything. He's so pure. Whoever meets him, even his enemy, he becomes better and he embraces him. So this is the treasure chest for a Muslim. The tongue, we should control it. The heart, we should control it. The emotions, we should control them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a great mode of transportation. Today we're sitting here in Allah's house. We're doing dhikr. We're broken individuals. We're sinful. At least Allah ta'ala has given us the association with friends. For example, I'm going to Glasgow. I don't have a Mercedes. I don't have a plane ticket. At least, let's consider that at the moment, we're cycling to Glasgow on a bicycle with a flat tire. Yeah, so we're weak Muslims, we don't have that strength of Iman, we don't have that strong transportation. But even if we've got that difficult situation in life, we should accept it with patience. Inshallah, that broken down cycle will eventually, after a few weeks, take you to Glasgow city centre. So my Sheikh said that even if you are a sinner, you've got problems and issues, still strive and continue on that path. Eventually you'll reach to the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't waste time. These majalis, these gatherings, we're sitting down, come, have passion, desire. And remember one thing in your mind and your heart. Allah, I've come to this gathering tonight to please you, Allah. I've come to recite your name. I've jumped onto this bike, even though it's broken down with a flat tire, and I want to get to your nearness, Allah. May Allah Ta'ala accept all of us sitting here. Ameen. We'll start the gathering of dhikr. Because time is short, we won't do loud dhikr as we usually do, because the time to Isha is short. So we'll do khafi dhikr, silent dhikr. We'll enjoy this, inshallah. We are going to recite Allah's name, whether it's loudly or silently. But today, because time is short, so we can recite more verses, we will recite silently. So when I recite silently after me. Jazakallah, recite durushi.